Our scripture reading is taken from the Gospel of John, the ninth chapter, beginning at the first verse. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." When he had said these things, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And he said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which is translated "sent." So he went and washed and came back seeing. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. In 1998, a tornado hit St. Peter, only 12 miles away, and especially did a lot of damage on the Gustavus campus. A pastor from a different church body than the one that owns Gustavus, a pastor in a different church body up in the Twin Cities, announced to members of his congregation that God must have been punishing that campus and its church body because of their false, non-biblical beliefs. He later discovered that a church of his own church body was also hit downtown and damaged. And he suddenly had to change his tune a little bit. When misfortune happens, when something evil or bad happens, we have a tendency to search for the reason for it, to kind of look for the cause of that. Why did it happen? We like to kind of connect the dots. Well, if this is what took place, there had to be some thought or reason behind this, cause and effect. It's what appears to take place in nature all the time, and so we assume it should also take place in the spiritual realm as well. And Jesus' disciples do that with this poor blind man's condition, assuming that there must be some association with his condition and some particular sin, either that he did or maybe that somebody in his family had done, that would cause God to exact some kind of vengeance or retribution for his condition, for this sin. In Jesus' day, there were even some Jewish theologians that taught a doctrine called the transmigration of souls. And the idea of that among some of the Jewish theologians was that your soul, if you did something wrong and sinful, could even pass on to your children or grandchildren, and they may have to suffer some calamity in their life because of a sin you were being paid for in a previous life. Now, we are tempted to do this as well, maybe in more subtle ways, to look at the negative conditions in our lives and to somehow assume that God is punishing us. Or maybe we go conversely and think that if everything's going great in my life, that must mean that God particularly is happy with me and is rewarding me. That's the way Job's friends approached his situation as well. Now, Jesus is teaching his disciples and all of us in this context that this is a false assumption for us to make. In this man's particular situation with his blindness, God had permitted this condition in order for his son, Jesus Christ himself, to have the opportunity to again reveal his divine power, to again display that he truly is and was the Son of God. And so this man's blindness, his condition was not really a fault of anybody's particular sin, but God had determined to use that condition in his wise counsel. He had determined to use that condition as a way to display Christ's power. God's ways truly are beyond our own. Think of the account in 2 Corinthians where St. Paul writes about his thorn in the flesh. We always wonder what that was. Some people speculate that it was some kind of physical ailment or problem. His thorn in the flesh, that he says there, God had permitted to allow this to come to him in order to keep Paul humble in his faith and not to get all puffed up with pride and to keep him holding on to his Savior alone for his hope of getting to heaven. And Paul, remember, pleaded with God three times to take this away from him. It'd be interesting to hear those prayers and how earnest they probably were when he prayed at night to take this away from him. And yet, once he learned of God's explanation for his condition, Paul was more than willing to accept that and to take that. In fact, he even went so far as to write, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities for Christ's sake." And Paul even went on to instruct the new converts in Antioch, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." So he saw the connection to how God was using even that difficult, negative thing in his life in a way that was ultimately keeping him on the path of salvation. You know, thinking of this blind man, whenever we see someone who is blind, I know I just often think, oh man, how difficult that would be in life. One of my Sunday school teachers was blind by the end of his life, and he lived kind of near me, and I think, wow, how difficult that was. And just to take away such an important part of our lives, our sight. And we can imagine that little boy in our text when he was young, that young man praying with his parents that God would allow him to have his sight back. You can imagine how much they wished that God would take this away from him and all of that. But wouldn't it be interesting if we were able today to somehow interview this man in heaven and to find out from him that he would not now have had it any other way? The very cross in your life that you may pray God the hardest to take away from you may end up being the very cross that is the most important to keep you humbly walking on the path of salvation through faith in your Savior. The problem or condition which may plague you the most in this earthly life may turn out to be the one that you thank God for the most in your heavenly life. And only Christian faith that clings to the words and promises of a gracious God, only Christian faith can see that kind of a treasure in that sort of trouble and difficulty. So our Lord Jesus uses this man's blindness as a wonderful opportunity to now just again reveal his divine power. And we need to remember that wherever Christ reveals his healing power over the effects of sin in this world, he also reveals his saving power over the effects of sin. He has defeated the devil in every realm for us. It's interesting the personal touch that Jesus provides in this miracle. He makes it so obvious and clear that he's the one performing it. He spits into the ground with his own saliva. He mixes a little pool of mud with it. Yuck. And he takes it on his fingers and sticks it in this man's eyes and touches him. And then sends him off to wash. How much more direct and personal, how much more obvious could he make it that he's the one doing it and it's for this man? Think how God comes to you with his grace to touch you in your spiritual life. Through his very words in the waters of baptism, through the proclamation of the absolution of the forgiveness of all your sins, with the words that are blessing the bread and wine and the Lord's Supper, that now cause Christ's body and blood to be present. With all of that, our Lord himself touches these means and now comes and touches you directly with him so that you know you are his forgiven child, and by faith in Christ, nothing will prevent you from going through the doors of heaven. May we be blessed with the eyes of faith to see our handicaps, our afflictions, our difficulties, our crosses in this life, not as curses from God, but rather as tools in his hands to find a way to eternally bless us. And even in the most challenging and difficult things that we have to deal with in our lives, may we say in faith, "The Lord does all things well. Crown him with many crowns, for he is King of all." Amen.